He leadeth me. The song we just sang said, by His own hand, He leadeth me. And I would ask you, how many hands did He lead you by? By His own hand. It was a singular noun. And that's an important thing to think about. By His hand, He leadeth me. And we want to talk about that today. And if you would, I'd like you to open your Bibles to the scripture that was read earlier, Matthew chapter 16. And we'll be going there in a minute. I want you to be thinking now about this thought that we have here. Three wise men won't cut it. Three wise men won't cut it. And I hope you'll understand later on in the lesson really what that phrase means and why I titled the sermon this way. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he said, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When we do that, when we present ourselves to God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, when we are looking at the word of truth, when we're dividing, we're holding on to that hand. He leadeth me by His own hand, and we can do that as we follow in the footsteps. And I want to tell you, there is great peace. You can have great peace and comfort when we follow and practice rightly dividing the Word of God. Great peace, great comfort can be yours. When you think about this, first off, when we're focused on the Word of God, when all your energies are focused on His Word, the one hand that leads me, then you're on the path of getting instruction from one source. One source. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way. There's your hand. Right? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You want to get to heaven? You got to follow that one path. And we need to understand that is the source. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, the Apostle Paul, he teaches us the importance of the ones. And he tells us to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. How do we get the bond of peace? By one hand. And Paul goes on to tell us how. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit, one Father who is in you all and through you all. One hand. And listen, we live in a world that makes that difficult. But when we turn to God and we look for that one hand, when we look for that one path, then we get answers, and the confusion that this world presents us dissipates. When you listen to only one voice, when you only allow one voice into your head, if you only allow one voice in your head, guess what happens? All that confusion just disappears. It just disappears. Listen, the apostle said, when you trust in the Lord for answers, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will do what? It will what? Guard your hearts and mind. And you know, when we think of those words, hearts and mind, heart and mind in the Bible, they're really the same thing when we think about the ability to think and comprehend. But he says that you just turn to the Lord and the peace that surpasses all, you'll have that. The peace that surpasses all understanding. What does that do? It guards your hearts and your minds. That's where confusion just dissipates. You ever watch the news and you see the president at the White House and they have those reporters out there? And the president gets up and he says a few things and then it's time for questions. And what happens? 30 people all start yelling questions. You can't understand a single thing. Mass confusion. And then the president points to one reporter. All of a sudden the room becomes quiet. All that turmoil, all that confusion, all that craziness just goes away. And the one person speaks and you can understand what they're saying. It's like that when we allow the wisdom of God to be our peace. And it surpasses any kind of understanding that we have. It guards our hearts and our minds. And it does it through Christ Jesus. One hand. One hand. You know what happens when we do this? You're cutting out all those voices. You're cutting out all those voices. How do we do that? How do we ask God? How do we get answers from God? Well, the first thing is you get the question in your mind or your heart. Get a question. And then you'd be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, 11. What did they do? They searched the scriptures daily. That's what they did. How do we get wisdom? The James, he wrote, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of men. Right? Let him ask the church. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask the preacher. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask the mother or the father or the friend. No, he said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. That means it's free and he has, it's in abundance. And he upbraideth not. And in King James' version, upbraideth not. That means he doesn't charge you for it. It's free. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For not let that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Why? A double-minded man. Imagine me with two heads. Kind of weird, right? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. For not let that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now listen to me. When you allow voices into your head on matters of church, on matters of faith, when you allow all these other voices, you're going to be confused. You're going to be that kind of person that says, well, you know, my friend said, my mom said, my dad said, my teacher said, the preacher said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Go to the source, the one way, the one truth, the one life, the one spirit that brings us into the bond of peace. Now listen, because you're in this world, you're going to have influences. The devil has many, many people in this world that are following his pernicious ways. That's what he does. And you're going to be constantly challenged, what's right, what's wrong. And I want you to be thinking about this. If you're only listening to one God, then you won't be confused. Well, a guy on the radio I listened to yesterday, Dave, said that we're saved by faith and nothing else. There's a voice. Well, my neighbor, he's a Baptist, Dave, and And he said that we're baptized because of the remission of sins, not for the remission of sins. There's another voice. But if you listen to God, you're going to get the same answer to your question every time you ask. Put those other voices out of your head. You know, for some, it's an easy thing to have the peace that surpasses all understanding because we just simply trust the Word of God. For others, maybe it's a little more difficult. Just turn to the Lord. You know, confusion is very real, and confusion comes because of multiple answers, multiple influences, when you have to sift through everything and decide what's right and what's wrong. But confusion is ripped apart. It's torn up when we eliminate the multiple influences. And we need to do that. We need to do that. The brain that you have, it belongs to you. You know, there's arguments in the world today about divorce, or about abortion. And the big argument is, it's her body. Right? It's okay to kill, murder that child because that child's her body. And we all know that's not true, right? That child has got his own body. That's just a body inside of her body. But the brain is your brain. And we can speak that truly. It's your brain. You can do with it whatever you want. You can listen to your neighbor. You can listen to the radio guy. You can listen to the preacher. You can if you just focus and listen on God's Word, you're manipulating and controlling what gets into your brain. When you shut the door of your mind, keeping other people out and just trust the Word of the Lord, confusion begins to fade away. Paul says that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. He's not going to make you confused. Now, that doesn't mean that the Bible is a first grade reader. It's not. It sometimes you got to study. He said, study to show thyself approved, right? Be diligent. And you rightly divide that word, which means if you don't quite understand it, you just keep going. And you look for the answers. But I'll tell you what, when you allow other voices to manipulate your brain, you're just allowing the devil in. And the consequence of that could be that you lose your eternal soul. You lose your soul because you listen to somebody else. And I don't think that's the way you want to go. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23, the wise man said, but buy truth and sell it not, and wisdom and instruction and understanding. We get that from God, the wisdom that comes from God. Buy truth. It comes down, buy that truth and sell it not. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Sanctify them by your word. Thy word is truth, John 17, 17. Buy it and don't sell it. Be like that psalmist in Psalm 1, verse 2, right? His delight was in the law of the Lord, and in His law did he meditate day and night. Take the Word of God. Drink it in. Let that fill your mind. In Psalm 25 and in verse 5, the psalmist, he says, guide me in all your truth. Teach me. You are the salvation. You are God and you are my salvation. We need to just get rid of all the confusion. Stop listening to everybody else. Stop saying, but so-and-so said. And trust in the Lord God with all your heart. I want you to turn to the book of Mark. You can keep Matthew 16 in your somehow keep that mark, but I want to go to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 15, and let's look at this a little bit here. Mark chapter 5, rather, verses 1 through 15. Now, as we look at this, realize that this is where Jesus, he comes to the country of the Gadarenes, and he gets out of a boat there in verse 2, and immediately he met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And look at the disadvantages of having more than one spirit. What does he say? He's dwelling in the tombs. That means he's an outcast. He's so violent that nobody can bind him. And in verse 4, even though he had been bound in shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken into pieces, nobody could tame him. Out of control, always night and day was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out, it says, cutting himself with stones. When you think of this man who's being tormented by many, many voices, you think of a man that is not happy. He doesn't have the peace that surpasses all understanding. He's being ripped apart and torn to the point where he's crying out. Inflicting wounds upon himself. And if we think of this in the context, we think that he's trying to get rid of all those voices. He's trying to eliminate all this sorrow and this suffering. He doesn't want to be like that, but when you allow many voices into your head, that's exactly what happens. You're confused, you're lost, you don't know which way to go. You cry out and it seems like nobody's listening. But in verse 6, when he saw Jesus afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." And for he said to them, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Jesus is there to help. Jesus is there to help. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And what was the answer? You know the answer. He answered saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." We're many. This man was tormented, cutting himself, crying out, living in a cave by himself, unable to live with society, unable to be tamed, because of the many voices in his head. And then we come to worship week after week, month after month, year after year, and we sit in total confusion because we hear one thing here and something else out there. And what we want to do is eliminate the something else. What's in here is all you need. So what happened? Jesus cast out, didn't he? He cast out that legion, those many. Cast them into swines, you remember that? And the swines ran down the hill. What does it say? As we look at Mark here, it tells us that they ran down the hill, they ran into the ocean, they all drowned. They all drowned. The voices went away. The turmoil went away. They fled in verse 14. For those who fed the swine, rather. They came, verse 14. They came to see what happened. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the one who had been demon-possessed with many, many voices, many demons, and he had the legion sitting what? Clothed? In his right mind. That's what happens when we stop listening to the many voices. And that happens to anyone who chooses just simply to follow God. Stop letting those voices in. Stop listening to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, as some people would say in the past. And just listen to the Word of God. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. That's what Paul said, admonishing one another, but to let that Word of God dwell in you richly. You know, as long as you let other voices in, you'll never have peace. You'll always have confusion. Your soul will never find rest as long as you allow multiple voices to fill your heart. And if you don't stop all the voices and listen to God only through the Spirit of His Word, you'll be at peace. You'll have that peace that surpasses all understanding that Paul talked about. And you'll be like the man in the story. You'll be in your right mind. And other people will think something's wrong. Now the world out there, when you start doing things according to the way of the Lord, then they think it's strange. Because you're no longer like them. And that's the key. Now, as we think of this, think about yourself. There's a old television show called Happy Days. You remember that? And there was a character on that show, his name was The Fonz. And at the beginning of every show, it showed The Fonz with a comb in his hand. And he's looking into a mirror and he's looking at himself. And he takes that comb, but he never touches a hair on it. He's perfect. And a lot of times we do that, don't we? We look into that law of liberty, that perfect mirror, and we think, well, I'm perfect. And I walk away and I forget what kind of man I really am. But we're not perfect. And we won't want to have that attitude to be like the Fonz. And so I want you to think about this. These three wise men, who are they? Me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. Secondly, Satan, via the influence of others. Thirdly, God. And the problem is, when we put all these together in this head, we have confusion. Man called Legion, he had many, many in his head. Many were in his head. And what we want to do is just briefly talk about these three. When I think of me, myself, and I think about this Matthew that we were reading. If you remember in Matthew chapter 16 and starting in verse 13, Jesus came in to the area of Caesarea Philippi and Jesus asked a simple question, who do men say that I am and what would happen? Who do men say that I am? And you hear those words, some say. Think about that for a second. Some say. That means some people say that he's John the Baptist. Some people say he's Elijah. And some people say, others say that he's Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Some say. When you allow these voices into your head, you're going to wonder, who was Jesus? Was he Elijah? Was he John the Baptist? Was he a prophet? Was he Jeremiah? Who is this guy? Some say is allowing all those other voices into your head. But Jesus goes on to say, but who do you say that I am? Talking to his disciples. And what did Peter say? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. And Jesus answered and said, flesh and blood, or blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Peter wasn't listening to some. Are you seeing that? He wasn't listening what some say. He wasn't confused that maybe it's Elijah or John the Baptist or Jeremiah or some of the other. He wasn't confused. Because he wasn't listening to all those voices in this world. Flesh and blood, he was ignoring it. He was listening to the right thing. He was listening to the Spirit. He was being informed through what is the way, the truth, and the life. My Father who is in heaven, that's how it was revealed to Peter. Now, I want you to think about that. Jesus just praised Peter because he said, Peter, you're right. You're not listening to some, you're listening to God. And flesh and blood, you're just ignoring that. You're getting the answer through the Spirit, through God. But then, you know, something really strange happens. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 23, and it's on the screen, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed. And be killed. Be raised up the third day. And then Peter took him aside and he began to rebuke him, saying, "For far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." Peter, who just displayed wonderful spiritual knowledge, getting information from the Spirit, from the Father above, and was just praised by Jesus, now he's stumbling. Why? Because of me, myself, and I. Because of me, myself, and I. When you think, me, myself, and I is what I think. It's what I feel. When I think about me, myself, and I ask, you got a question? Come to me. When you're that bolt, come to me. You got a question? Come to me. You got an answer? Keep it to yourself. Because I already know everything. You disagree with me? Well, then, you're wrong. It's that simple. Because I'm always right. Me, myself, and I, we're a good team. And when this happens, then, I'm the center of my universe. When this happens, I have all the right answers. And everybody else is wrong. I'm always right. I am the one that I go to for answers in everything. My voice is strong. I don't need anyone else. I don't need to trust anybody else. I don't need to seek advice from anybody else. I got it handled. And I'm like the fawns, perfect. You know, but if I could come down off my high horse, if I could just hear what other people say about me when I act this way, when they say things like, he's a know-it-all. He's full of pride. And the Apostle Paul says, therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed, lest he falls. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Think of these things. Peter, in that text we were reading, it says in verse 23 in Matthew 16, but he turned, Jesus, and I want you to count the three here. He turned, Jesus turned, and he said to Peter, one. He said to Satan, two. He said, you are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God. Three. Three voices. Three perspectives. Self, me, myself, and I, the devil, and God. God's word translation translates that, but Jesus turned and said to Peter, get out of my way, Satan. You're tempting me to sin. You're tempting me. You aren't thinking of the way God thinks, but the way humans think. Me, myself, and I. What happens? We become the center of our universe. We don't need anybody else. We don't need even God. But he who trusts in his own heart, the wise man said, is a fool. We can't trust in me, myself, and I. Look at the book of Hosea, chapter 14 with me. And if you're looking at this chapter, just in the very beginning here, Hosea chapter 14 and verse 1. Hosea writes, O Israel, return to the Lord your God. Why do they have to return? Because they've listened to kings. They've listened to everybody on earth except God. They've turned their backs to God. But he says, return to the Lord. For you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take the words with you and return to the Lord. What happens? Take away all iniquity. Receive us with graciousness. Now this is a place in the scripture that's referring to Israel coming out of captivity. They've been in captivity because of their disobedience. Because they wouldn't listen to God. Because they were stiff-necked. As we look at this, chapter 14, let's look at verse 9. The question is, who is wise? Let him understand these things. What things? The reasons why they were backsliding, the reasons why they were in captivity, and the reasons and the hope that can get them out. Who is prudent? Let him know them, for the ways of the Lord are right. And the righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. The way of the Lord is right. You see that? That's what he says. Now there's another voice in your head besides me, myself, and I, and that's Satan. It's the devil. When we ask about what the devil, how does the devil influence our mind? Well, let me ask a question. How many wise men came from the east to see Jesus, the king? How many? Right? But when you see the nativity scene, how many wise men? You always see three. Right? Somebody's influencing people who aren't looking to the Word of God. When we read that account, and we think about this in Matthew chapter 2. He says, behold, wise men came from the east. That's all. Didn't say three wise men. Didn't say ten. He didn't say two. We knew it had to be more than one. That's all we know. It's like Spencer's lesson this morning. He taught us about necessary inference. And when we can't conclude, then we just want to be quiet about it. I don't know how many wise men came. I have no idea. Where do people get that from, though? Because in verse 11 it says they presented frankincense, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they think three wise men, three gifts. But see, that's not true, is it? We don't know that. We don't know why Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night, right? That's what Spencer taught us. We have no clue. It could have been because he was afraid. It could have been because it was a convenient time. It could have been because he was at home eating supper, and after supper he went to see Jesus. Who knows? But we don't know. Where do you get the three wise men? Purely supposition. And as long as you repeat this over and over and again, you continue the error. Because somebody taught you this. Somebody told you this. Or you didn't rightly divide. But the devil's always in there. He's using other people to tell you things that aren't true. The devil told Eve things that weren't true. People have been following after the pernicious ways of the devil ever since sin came into the world. And how does he do that? Your teachers, your family, your friends, the radio, TV evangelists, the TV evangelists. You know, here's another one. Acts 22, verses 6 and 7. It happened as I journeyed, came near Damascus about noon. Suddenly a great light shone from heaven around me, and I fell off my horse to the ground, heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Right? Did he fall off his horse? No. But you know, people teach that. Here is a self-proclaimed scholar, and I don't know, Plinio Oliveria. Look at what he says there. He says, as St. Paul was struck off his horse. Look at that. He was struck off his horse. He was shaken by the turn of events when the Lord asked him a question, why persecute us? Now, he fell off his horse. He was struck off. We know that happened, right? But everybody that follows him believes that. Everybody that reads that article and they don't rally, they listen to him, they're being guided by the devil. The devil doesn't come up to you and say, listen, Dave, Paul fell off his horse. Listen, Dave, there were three wise men. Listen, Dave, you don't need to take communion on Sunday. Listen, Dave, you don't need to be baptized. Satan's not saying that, but you're hearing his influence through people when you listen to all those other voices. When you allow those voices into your head. Where do people get it? They get it right there. They get it from scholars. I read 2 weeks ago that there's a scholar who defines homosexuality as being accepted by God, and he says the word homosexuality means that God loves men who love men. He said that. He defined homosexuality as men loving men, and God accepts that. The scholar. Many people teach that he fell off his horse. Many people believe he fell off his horse, but God said nothing about a horse. Saul said nothing about a horse. All right. So now we need to turn to God. That's the bottom line, isn't it? The errors that plague people, they plague us and they can jeopardize our soul. So what's the answer? We turn to God. Turn to God and listen to Him alone. In Luke chapter 9, verse 28, and verse 28 through 36, what happened there? Jesus, He goes up onto a mountain with Peter, James, and John, and He's transfigured before them. Right? And they see Elijah and Moses and Jesus all standing there together. And when they see the three, Peter, he stops and he says, wow, let us build three tabernacles. I want to listen to three voices. Let's listen to Elijah. Let's listen to Moses. Let's listen to Jesus. And what did God say? Right? This is my beloved Son. Hear you Him. In other words, forget Moses. Forget Elijah. They're there for our admonition. They're there for our learning. But listen to Jesus. Listen to the one voice. That one way, that one truth, the one life that can lead you to heaven eternal. Listen to Him. In the writer of Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, he said that in various times and in various ways, God spoke to the fathers through the prophets, but as in these last days, spoken to who? Us. How? Through His Son, who? Jesus Christ. Listen to Him. He made all the worlds. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. Romans chapter 12 and in verse 16, do not be wise in your own opinion, Paul said. James chapter 4:10, he says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Remember Jeremiah chapter 10 and in verse 23, you remember what he said. Oh Lord, I know that it is not in man to direct his own steps. It is not in man to walk, to direct his own. It's not in you. It's not me, myself, and I. It's not the devil. It's God. Psalm 119, verse 133. That wise psalmist said, direct my steps, you Lord. Your word, direct my steps by your word, he said. And let not iniquity have dominion over me. Don't let all those voices control me. Don't let sin control me. Don't let the devil have his influence in me. Let me put away all those voices. Let me just cleanse myself free the way Jesus cleansed that man of the legion and get rid of all those voices and just listen and focus and meditate on God. That's what we need to do. And always remember, God's not the author of confusion, right? Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above. Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths. See that? As we look at this, I want you to, just very quickly, I want you to think about Ephesians chapter 3. In verses 3 and 4, when Paul said, how that by revelation He, God, has made known to me, Paul, the mystery, as I have also briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. What Paul is saying there is when you read what is written, that you'll have understanding. You don't need the preacher. You don't need the father and the mother. You don't need the radio announcer. You technically don't need all the books that are written, right? To the writing of books. You don't need all that. This is what you need. Now, if you're using a tool to help you understand this, make sure that tool is helping you understand it by rightly dividing. But you don't need all that. He says that you may understand. That means to properly apply mental effort needed to reach the bottom line. That you may know my knowledge. He's joining together in a holistic understanding. He says synthesizing reasoning that joins. That's what that word means. For the believer, that means connecting the dots. I heard somebody one time say that when Jesus was on the cross, He literally became a sinner. Well, if you connect the dots, that means that He couldn't have been the perfect Lamb of God, right? When He died. Jesus said, why hast thou forsaken me? And that preacher said that it was God that forsook him because he literally became a sinner. He couldn't have been the perfect Lamb. You can't do that. You have to connect the dots. You have to bring everything in. The holistic means you're taking everything in. Everything in. Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, Paul said, I did not shun to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Everything has to come in. What did Jesus say to that devil? He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Psalm chapter 37 in verses 23 and 24, right? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and though he falls, he will not be utterly cast down because he's upheld by the hands of God. Remember the song we sang, the hand of Jesus. That's what upholds you. And listen, coming to Jesus is not a burden. It's also not a command. Jesus in Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, he said, come unto me. That's an invitation. All ye that are heavily laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's an invitation. Take my yoke upon you. Right? For my burden is light. And you will find rest for your souls. Jesus wants us to come, to be baptized in the water, to be forgiven of our sins and to be added to the body of Christ. If you're subject to the invitation today, I invite you now to come forward as we stand and as we sing.